Our speaker for tonight is a very dangerous man. And the danger is that you'll all fall in love with him. And you're going to want to hit him with a tomato, but wait till you get outside. This man that's going to share his thoughts with us tonight is absolutely delightful. From the time he came here, everybody has just, that's it, they've just adored him. And he's trying to hide from us because he started to grow hair on his face, but we still recognize him. It's our George. Our George.
Big flower.
Big flower.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to be here and speak. And a lot of people out here that mean a whole lot to me, so I really feel at home anyway. So thank you for that. Tonight I'd like to talk to you about something that I believe is very important. I want to talk about a resurrection. Not the resurrection of Jesus, although he was the example. Not even the resurrection once we pass over, about life everlasting. I want to talk about your resurrection right here, right now on earth. I believe our resurrection in life is about the choices that we make, how we choose to see our lives, and how we really see ourselves every day. I want to share this because I talk with a lot of people about their lives all the time, where they are, where they've been, where they are going. As some of you know, I do life coaching. It's very important to me, something that I've studied very hard and am still studying, because what I've gone through in my own life, on my own, and survived. Coaching and spiritual counseling is why I believe I'm here on earth, to help others learn and experience what I have learned and experienced. And what I've learned and experienced is that despite what everyone tells me as their story, our potential, what each one of us is capable of, is beyond our imagination. Who we really are is beyond our greatest wishes. And the life we can live, the joy and happiness that we can each experience in our lives, is beyond our wildest dreams. And these are just not mere words. These are words are the truth of who you are. And tonight, I want to talk to you, actually prove to you why I believe these words are true. To those of you who know me, you also know my story, which I really don't like to talk about. But I feel I have to briefly, only so that you know, that if any of you have ever been or are now experiencing real pain or addictions or upheaval in your life, I want you to know that I have too. In my life, I've survived child abuse and alcoholism and drugs and four packs of cigarettes a day. Once slept only 3 hours a night and have battled major depression most of my life. But I can say, because of what I've experienced and learned over the last 10 years, I consider myself to be a very blessed man. Very blessed indeed. And I owe much of this to this lady right here. Why? She helped me to find God, even though most of my life I didn't believe that God existed. I always wanted to say to her, how can you possibly thank someone for helping you find God? It is the greatest gift in the world you can give to someone, and the greatest one you can receive. I am so grateful to Reverend Millie, and I always will be. So what is your resurrection all about is this. Do you choose to live in the past and remain in the pain you once were, or can you begin to see that maybe, just maybe, what you have once endured, any pain that you have made suffered, is in the past, and now you're beyond it. You are no longer there. You have moved on. You have been resurrected from where you used to be. Once you understand this, and can begin to see that you are no longer living in the past, that that is not the truth of who you are, your own resurrection has begun. If you are truly feeling helpless or depressed and don't think there is any hope, but can at least begin to see that these feelings are left over from your past, not your present, you are on the path to your own self-discovery and the greatness of life that is waiting for you. No, I'm not telling you to forget your past and move on. I've read the half of the self-help books ever written, and many say just forget it, it's over, don't worry about it. Good luck, it's not that simple. I've tried, and I tried for years. We can all pretend that whatever we grew up with will just go away, but it won't. It can't. It's the 800-pound elephant dancing around in the shadows of your mind and in your soul. But there's something that you can do that's very real and very practical to heal the hurt of your past and present. Any hurt you may be experiencing right now, it is what helped me more than anything, and I want to share it with you. It's simple, really, but it's also profound. It's something most of us would like to believe, but when I listen to people, they kind of believe it, but not 100% and not all the time. I'm not only going to show you what it is, it's something I want to prove to you tonight. And I even brought my own props. See this glass? I want to ask you a question. Imagine for a moment that everything God created is in this glass. The stars and the sun and the moon and all of the planets, the mountains, the trees, oceans, rivers, and streams. Question, are you inside the glass or are you outside? How many of you believe you're in the glass? Raise your hands. It's good. That everything in this glass is God, and so are you. Here comes the big question, though. Often many of us know this intellectually, but do you know it in your bones? Do you feel it every day, all day? Do you truly know that each of you is a bubble of God, as Reverend Milley says? Many people know it in their heads, but not always in their hearts. Frankly, most people don't know it at all. And that's where the big problem comes, in my mind, the biggest single problem in the world, but also the opportunity. I know it has been for me. Once you really know you are part of and belong in the glass, there are still more questions, but there are some wonderful answers. Do you believe God is good, that God is love, that God is forgiving and accepting? Then you have to accept that you have these qualities too, because you are part of God. You certainly don't believe God is evil, do you? Then you're not evil either. How could you be if you were in the glass, if you were part of God? I have come to strongly believe that the root of all evil is when anyone believes in their heart and soul that they are not part of God. Maybe a better question for us is to what, if any of us have ever thought they're not worthy or good enough. You have to again ask yourself, do you believe God is worthy? Then you are too. This isn't any great religious insight. This is simple logic. If you're in the glass and you know that you are part of God and God is good, then so are you. This is our challenge. This is our opportunity. This is the truth of our own resurrection. A long time ago, Reverend Milley was talking about the resurrection of Jesus, and she said something I will never forget. She was talking about the fact that Jesus had to carry his own cross on his back to his own crucifixion. She then asked, what cross do you have to carry? What burden do you have? I think that's a very powerful question. We have so many lessons to learn from this man who changed the world. We all have some burden, something we are carrying with us, don't we? It may be something from our past, our health, our relationships. There's always something. The question is, how are we going to handle it? What are we going to do about it? There's a great quote that I love. It's not about learning how to survive the storm. It's learning how to dance in the rain. My answer is always, though, start by knowing that you are part of the magnificence of God. How do I know this? God is everything. God is all there is. Everything, everyone you see, hear, touch, and feel is part of God. And you are too. But don't take my word for it. You'll find this loving wisdom all over the Bible. In Corinthians, do you know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? In Ephesians, in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit. This is how we know that we live in him and he is in us. He has given us of this Spirit in John. And in John 8:12, then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. "If you believe in me, he shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. If you believe in me, you shall not live in darkness. You shall have the knowing, the energy, the joy of life. I know this to be true. This is what I have experienced in my life. I have come out of much of the darkness into much of the light, certainly a lot more than I used to. It doesn't make me special or certainly any different, but it does make me happier than I've ever been." The Dalai Lama said, "The purpose of life is to find happiness." I agree 100%. I would like to share a few thoughts with you from a very special book. It's one of the few books that I've ever read twice. There's a few books that I've ever read once, so. Maybe some of you have heard of it. My friend Fred is one of the people who told me about it. It's called Proof of Heaven. It's about the near-death experience of a scientist, a neurosurgeon, who has been on the faculty of Harvard Medical School for 15 years. His name is Dr. Eben Alexander. Dr. Alexander contracted bacterial spinal meningitis, and I quote, "When combined with rapid downward neurological function, there is a 90% mortality rate. Those who do survive usually do so with severe brain damage. Those who are in a coma, like Dr. Alexander was for 7 days, die. None of this happened, though, to him. He fully recovered. He said, "During my coma, my brain wasn't working improperly. It wasn't working at all. I encountered a world of consciousness that existed completely free of the limitations of my physical brain." What makes his story so real and exciting, I believe, is that he had all but put the idea of God out of his mind. And as his words, "Belief would have been nice, but science is not concerned with what would be nice. It's concerned with what is." I want to share with you a little of what he saw and felt and experienced that completely changed his mind in 7 days from what he had believed his entire life, his entire scientific life, when he awoke from being brain dead. "Something appeared in the darkness. Turning slowly, it radiated fine filaments of white gold light. Growing in volume, the light grew closer, and something else appeared. There was a whooshing sound, and in a flash, I went through the opening and found myself in a new world, the most beautiful world that I'd ever seen. Brilliant, vibrant, ecstatic, stunning. I was flying, passing over trees and fields, streams and waterfalls, and here and there people. There were children, too, laughing and playing. The people sang and danced around in circles. Sometimes I'd see a dog running and jumping among them, as full of joy as the people were. It was like a beautiful, incredible dream world, except it wasn't a dream. The place I found myself in was completely real. At some point, I realized I wasn't alone up there. Someone was next to me, a beautiful girl with high cheekbones and deep blue eyes," which was always my concept of heaven. "We were riding along together on an intricately patterned surface, alive with incredible but vivid colors, the wings of a butterfly. In fact, there were millions of butterflies all around us. Without using any words, she spoke to me. Her message went through me like a wind, and I instantly believed it was true. The message had three parts and went like this: you are loved and cherished forever. You have nothing to fear. There is nothing you can do wrong." The message flooded me with a vast and crazy sense of relief. It was like I was being handed the rules of the game I'd been playing all of my life without fully understanding. Listening to what he says next. "Now, however, I knew. I understood that I was part of the divine and that nothing, absolutely nothing, could ever take that away." And here's the most important words in his book. "The suspicion that we can somehow be separate from God is the root of every anxiety in the universe. And the cure for it is the knowledge that nothing can tear us from God, ever." Not only was my journey about love, but it was also about who we are and how connected we are, the very meaning of our existence. I learned who I was up there, and when I came back, I realized that the last broken strands of who I am down here was sewn up. "You are loved." Those words are what I needed to hear as an orphan. Dr. Alexander talked about the fact of being an orphan throughout his book. As a child who'd been given away, but it's also what every one of us in this materialistic age need to hear. Because in terms of who we really are, where we really come from, we all feel like orphans. Without recovering the memory of our larger connectedness and of the unconditional love of our Creator, we will always feel lost here on earth. So always remember, you are in the glass. You are part of God, and nothing, nothing ever can or will happen to you to change this. Once you understand this in your heart, you too will feel blessed. How can you know for sure? You are loved and cherished forever. You have nothing to fear. There is nothing you can do wrong. This is your blessing. This is your light. This is your spirit. By the way, the girl on the wing of the butterfly, he learned, was his sister who had died years before. Because he was an orphan, he had never known or seen her. He didn't find out until after his coma when he saw her in a picture with his birth family. Another sister told him who it was. So please celebrate your own resurrection, your own happiness. You are part of God. This is the truth of who you are, right now, right here on earth. God bless each one of you, and thank you.